Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Would you stand with me a little bit? Let's just war a little bit. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your anointing in this place. And I've already heard in the worship and in what Michael said, I feel the change. I feel the change. I feel the change. How many of you want to be changed tonight? Amen. Praise God. You can't do anything to yourself, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, like it even came upon Saul, it changed him. The Bible said he became another man. Amen. I know about you, but I don't want to see you. I want to see the other man that happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the very guy that I want to talk about a little bit tonight, just starting, is right here. And I won't tell you who he is, but the testimony of change is what I want to talk about. Because, you know, I feel like change is in this atmosphere right now. And you don't even know how God can change you in a moment. You know what you need? You need what I call a sticky word. You need a word that attaches to you and keeps working on you and whittling the flesh away until it gets an identity in you that just can't change anymore, because it's exactly who God made you to be. Amen? Amen? Amen. You may be seated. How many of you know we're in an identity crisis right now? I mean, girls can be boys and boys can be girls, and bathrooms and restaurant rooms are all mixed up. And I've even heard Target's taking all their gender out of the aisleways. You don't even know where to get toys at anymore. Isn't that crazy? You know, a lot of people are not going to go to Target anymore. I don't know about you, but a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl, right? You were born eternally who you are. And it's Jesus that can bring your change. You can't change who you are. How many saw Bruce Jenner walk around the field with a flag when he won the Olympics that year? How many of you saw him on a Wheaties box? I mean, it's amazing to see. Why would a guy, 58, 60 years old, want to become a woman now? I mean, he looks like my grandmother. Right? I mean, what's with this? But the enemy uses things like this because he's trying to mix up the identity of who we are. And it's only Jesus that really, in fact, I feel like there's the spirit of change here tonight. I hope that somebody gets something on them. They get something sticky on them that gets to transform them. What I want to share with you, a couple of weekends ago, we had a young man in our prayer meeting. And he was in a basement prayer meeting not too long ago. And when I prayed for him, and a lot of times, like Bob said, I get a prophetic word for somebody, and I'll see some things. And when I prayed for him, I saw Sergeant Stripes on his arms in the anointing. And I don't know what that is, but I felt like God saying to him, you know, people are going to see authority in your lives, and they're going to want to invest in you. I see promotion coming to you. Well, at this time, him and his father came to this prayer meeting, and they were low. They're just raw material. How many of you feel like raw material sometimes? You know, God's still working on me, but I'm telling you, some people, they're just absolutely raw material, and God loves it, because what he's looking for tenacious individuals. He's looking for somebody that, though you struggle, you're just not going to let go. Has anybody got that on them? How many of you, you're in a struggle right now? And part of that struggle is what's forming you. Part of it's what's driving you into the arms of God so you can get a revelation of who he is, so that you can get a revelation of who you are. Amen? Amen. So I saw this picture of the Sergeant Stripes. I told him this, and I didn't see him in a long time after that, but he shared with us his testimony. When I saw him, man, this guy looks like a businessman. When I met him, he was driving a taxi. You know, long hours in a taxi driving stinky drunks around town all over the place. I mean, he's being led by these drunk people every night. But he got a word that day, and this is what I'm trying to encourage somebody, that I don't know how hungry you are for change, but I'm telling you, where you are is not where you have to be. Because in a moment you can get a word, you can get a vision. There can be an anointing or the presence of God can come upon you and it can bring change. You know, I feel like Michael prophesied it already tonight. I feel the change, I feel the change, I feel the change. Right? And you need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You need a revelation of who you are. You need to speak right into you, into your destiny, into your identity, because only He knows you like nobody else. Amen? So anyways, the next time I see this guy, he actually comes to a prayer meeting. He's all dressed up and he tells us his story. You know, it's probably been a couple of years since I've seen him, but he gets remarried. His wife knows a boss. She talks to him about a job. And it actually is, it's a guy that he used to take to a bar all the time. And this guy gives him a job. Well, he gets a job in a factory. And here's what I love about God, because when He gives you an anointing, when He gives you a word, this is what I'm talking about, it's a sticky word. Everybody in this factory thought he was an undercover boss. Right? And this company's getting bought out, and even the presidents and the vice presidents are walking by him being careful not to say anything because they think he's there as an undercover boss. Is that crazy? And they even come up and say, you know, dude, are you an undercover boss or something? Yeah, I'm telling you, God will put a fear on you. He will, somehow He'll bring that word to pass. It doesn't matter. He'll open up doors. Doors that you can't even open, that you don't know what's going on, but God's making a way. He's kicking doors down for you. How does a vice president get scared of a guy that just got a job on the floor? If that isn't the Holy Ghost on something, if that isn't the calling of God, if that isn't God changing an identity. In fact, this young man didn't even know what's going on yet until he realized one day that, you know, I really don't want to work out on this factory floor anymore where it's hot. Lord, why don't you just let it happen? Let me be a boss. And then he gets called into the office. And guess what they did? They promoted him. They put him in the office. They gave him, I think they tripled his income right there. But I'm telling you, I've seen things like that happen when people get a word. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And there's something about Israel. Remember, because they did not mix the word with faith, the Bible says it didn't profit them. But there's something happens when you get a hold tenaciously of a word. I'm telling you, it will transform your life. You don't even know how God will rearrange things in your life and bring it to pass. Amen? Yeah, I believe God wants to do that in some lives tonight because the culture is going one way, but I believe God wants, He wants to solidify some people. He wants to make you like a rock. He wants to make you a stream in the desert for people. He wants to make you have such a rock-hard identity that people will know that they can come to you. Because you're not changing, because you become a source of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's something about identities like Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods. When you get to a level of excellence in your life, people want to be like you. You realize that? You attract something because there's a lot of people, they don't even know who they are. But once you zero in, once God puts an anointing, once He puts a calling, and once you begin to find your path, you got a grace on you that nobody else has. It's like a multiplying factor in your DNA. You can do things that nobody can do like you. And that's when you find your place in the Spirit of God. That's when you find that place and you actually attract the glory of God. You actually attract and you reflect Jesus. Amen? Turn with me to Genesis 27. I just want to talk about Jacob a little bit. How many Jacobs in here right now? I don't know about you, but I even limp right now. I've been through the whole process where I think I got hit in the back of the leg and I can't run like I used to. Because God will take the run out of you. He'll get you to a place now where you have to face things. But in Genesis chapter 27. See, this story about Jacob, it's really, do you know what an allegory is? It's a deeper story. This is just not the story about a patriarch or where the 12 tribes came from. This story is about you and me. This is a story about what God can do if I let Him get a hold of me. It's a story about
how God loves tenacious people. The Bible says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. You know, with Esau, this birthright, this thing about relationship with God, it didn't mean anything. He sold it for a bowl of pottage. And it's easy to give up on God when it gets hard and trade it for something else. But you know, God's looking, he's looking for people that tenaciously want to hold on. People that want an identity. People that want to break through into something supernatural. I don't know, is there anybody hungry that wants to see miracle signs and wonders anymore? I'm telling you, you can get an anointing. I've been in meetings where it was a laying on of hands and walked away with an impartation, a word of knowledge. I've led prayer meetings for probably 25 years now. I've seen all kinds of things. And it was in these little prayer meetings where I saw a car get healed one time. Anybody seen that? We're in a prayer meeting with some friends, and my friend had an argument with his wife. She took a pan and beat out all of his windows, right? So we walk out, it's like, Clyde, what happened to your car? Well, my wife got mad. She beat out all the windows. She's gone. Well, I said, well, we're going to lay hands on your car tonight. Let's pray right now. We prayed for his car to get healed. Is that crazy? You know what happened the next day? I saw Clyde. He said, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. He said, you know, the very next day, a guy comes to me and says, what happened to your car? He told him the story. He said, I'm going to pay to put all your windows back in. Now, I don't know how that happens, but it was the very next day, right? I mean, I had a custom. When I first got saved and I got the anointing on me and I got prophecy flowing in me, you know, my custom was, do you mind if we pray when I leave? That was my first thing. It's like everywhere I went. I probably got obnoxious with people because I just knew I had some I wanted to give away. I prophesied to pastors that went to a place called Apostolic Bible Institute. They were taught there are no longer any apostles or prophets. Apostolic Bible Institute. Right? I went to this new pastor. He was a pastor in our place. And see, I think I learned early that I was a son of God. I wasn't just a technon, a child. I'm a huios. I bear the image of the Father. I have his character. I have this signet ring. I have some authority. And when I come into a place, I knew that I carried something. I've been changed enough by, I was brought up in a church where the guy had the gifts of the Spirit, taught me how to pray. You know, taught me how to hear God, taught me how to flow. You know, the Bible says, they that are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God, the huios, the full-grown son. How many of you want to see it start happening? Amen? So I go in these, you know, these pastors' houses, you know, and they don't believe in this stuff. I went in one, we had coffee, and my custom was, you mind if we pray? You know, this is John Nordstrom. You know, Dave knows who he is. I didn't know it, but when he first came there, coming to our church was a step down. It was a United Pentecostal church. We didn't have standards, and maybe some of you don't know what that is. But his wife was blackballed. She used to be a national speaker. So I said, do you mind if we pray? And they were both sitting on the couch, and we started praying, and I started prophesying. And I prophesied that the thorny path that was before her and the rejection, God was going to beat down. And he was going to give her favor again. She started laughing, or she started bawling. He fell off the couch and rolled underneath the table, started laughing for half an hour and couldn't get up. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about giving a word to people that changes them. It meets them right where they were. She was in rejection, and here's a husband just can't believe what just happened to his wife. And I'm talking about when you have an identity of who you are, you're just not ashamed to show it to people, to do stuff, to do weird stuff, crazy stuff, praying for cars. I prophesied to a man in Bucyrus, another pastor from that same school, didn't believe in it. He was in a place where he told me that pastors were eating out of garbage cans. It was so bad, right? And me, I'm full of faith. I just can't believe that. God's bigger than that. So I said, can we go pray? So we went to the church and prayed, and I prophesied to him. He had 10 people in his church for 5 years. Everybody said, that's bad. But you know, when I went there, I had been in one service when I saw one guy get in his face. And I prophesied, and the Lord said, some people are going to leave your church. One man's going to leave, and the other one, if he doesn't get right, he's going to leave. I'm telling this man that has 10 people in his church, people are going to immediately leave his church, and then he's going to have revival. He didn't know how to take that. But that was in Bucyrus, Ohio. I lived in Cleveland. I was praying in the Spirit. The Lord said, I've broken the rod of the oppressor. 5 minutes later, I get a call from this pastor. Said, you wouldn't believe what happened. He said, you know that guy you said was going to leave my church? He just had a massive heart attack and never be back. And I told him, the Lord said he broke the rod of your oppressor. And then we kept praying. I kept seeing this like a dam about to burst, like revival is going to hit this place. And I kept praying in this vision. And we're, you know, with his mindset, it's not changed. It just got worse. Two people are going to leave his church. One just left. So what happened was that year, I don't know if anybody remembers this, but there was a story went around that Russia had drilled a hole so deep they thought they heard hell. They actually recorded moaning. Anybody remember that? I see some heads. Well, there was a Mexican sharecropper that heard that story, called down to Louisiana, found out where a church was, and 50 Mexican sharecroppers actually came into revival just like that. That's what I told the guy. People are going to leave your church, then God's going to visit with revival. But I'm telling you, when you get an identity, you kind of break through some things for some people. Unless you become who you are and steadfast and you absolutely know that you carry something, you'll back down. You won't bring it out. Amen? So let's look at this. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her eldest son Esau, which were there in the house, and put them on Jacob, the younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and bread which she had prepared in the hands of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Where are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Now, what I want to talk about is the fact that there's something that comes upon you that you didn't even work for yourself. Amen. You realize you can get an anointing here or someplace when you go after something that you see in somebody's life and there's a laying on of hands. By grace, you can get something that they work for, but you don't even have to work for. There's an impartation that can happen to take you to a whole nother level. And what I love about this Jacob is, you know, Esau sold this birthright, but God's watching over who's tenacious about how precious this thing is. You know, I would hope that somebody could be stirred up tonight to just want something different, to want something more, to just come and stand in the presence of God and let God just rest on you. Let God speak to you about your identity and call you a new name. Amen. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen where people change in a moment and they are not the people they used to be, and it doesn't take very long for God to do that. Desperation is the currency of heaven. It's how desperate are you to change, to get out of your situation, because I'm telling you, he's a wonderful counselor, isn't he? It doesn't matter what kind of problem you got or how long. I'm telling you, he can answer you. He can change you. So what Rebekah did was she put this like sheep or goat on his arm, and it felt like Esau. So Jacob goes up and he gets prayed for, and it's time to release the birthright of the firstborn. And I think Isaac knows exactly what that's worth. You know, the firstborn got the lion's share of the inheritance. They actually got the double portion because they were to take care of the rest of the family once the father was gone. So what happens is Jacob goes in and he says, I am your very son Esau. And he gets the blessing. But see, the part of the allegory is, do you know who you get to wear? You get to wear Jesus and going in on the father. You know whose grace I'm walking in? I'm not walking in mine. Amen. I'm walking in his identity. Amen. That's why Paul writes a letter to the church of the firstborn. See, the thing is, if you only knew who you were and what's available to you. You know, some of us are going to get to heaven and we're not even going to realize what was available, what we could have. Just like that pastor, you know, pastor's eating our garbage bins. when really fasting and prayer can break through something, and revival can happen. So he gets a blessing in the firstborn. And you know, once you get that attachment with God, you know God followed Jacob even when he ran. You see, some of you are coming to your Peniel. That's where Jacob wrestled with the angel to the breaking of a new day. Amen? Yeah. Come on, I'm telling you, there can be a new day. It won't be like it was before. And it's in that new day is when he got that name change. You're no longer supplanter, liar, thief, schemer. Now you're a prince who has power with both man and God. Amen? You know, some of us need to start walking in that anointing, in that identity, in that calling. You're just like Peter. You know, whom did men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, yeah, and I say unto you, you're Peter, you're Petros. You're a piece of the rock. You're a reflection of me. And once you realize that as you get a revelation of Jesus, he's all the potential, isn't he? The more I understand who he is, the more I understand who I am. That's the question that's got to be asked. You see, God's looking for contenders. He's looking for people that are hungry. He's looking for people that can be in a prayer meeting or in a coffee house or someplace. And then you see an opportunity. And the question is simple. Do you mind if we pray? And I never know what's going to happen. I just know something's going to happen, right? I never know that God's going to show you some kind of picture and what it's going to mean to that person that's going to change that life right there. And it's in a moment. It's so powerful. You know, when Rodney Howard Brown came through a couple of years ago, there was such a tangible anointing. How many of you ever were in a Rodney Howard Brown crusade? Was it powerful? The wind of the Spirit, the laughter? I mean, do you talk about getting stuck or sticky? It followed you everywhere. We would have prayer meetings with youth that would lay on the floor for hours and laugh in the Holy Ghost. We launched ministries out of that season. I was, even at work, I was doing a building, selling a contract. And I walked in and these people were backslidden. I said, you mind if we pray? Because I'm carrying something right now. You know what? It's amazing when you feel like you got something. Because right away, you want to give it away. You want to find the next victim to pray for. Right? Because you're on the prowl. You're just not waiting for an opportunity. You're looking for an opportunity. Right? See, that's what the church needs. We need people that are so bold that when they see something. I had a word one night in a prayer meeting. God's going to put somebody before you that's in need. I'm in Target. This woman's hurt. Turn around. Talk to me about all of her problems. She was the one. Took her to church. I don't know about you, but I want to know that I carry the anointing. I want to know that even the enemy knows who I am. Do you know how real that can be? I was fasting praying in Cleveland, Ohio, and I was on a 7-day fast. I was going to pray up against the principality and power over Cleveland, Ohio. How many of you know that was a mistake, actually? But you know what? I did see change. I didn't know what I'd get myself into. But this is how real warfare, this is how real identity. You know, like the sons of Sceva, he told them, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Well, I'm in an old car and I don't have air conditioning. It's hot summertime, Cleveland, Ohio. I've got a friend with me. We're driving down the street. I'm like 100 yards from where I live. And the Holy Spirit comes in the car. I don't know how to explain that, but like the cloud came in. And right away the Lord said, roll up the windows. And we're already sweating, right? But you know when God tells you to do something, you better do it, right? So my friend says, roll up the windows. I said, yeah, I don't know, roll up the windows. So we go up, and I drive probably 50 feet more. And I remember this house, it was where a bunch of motorcycle groups, kind of ruffians, were there. They're having some kind of party, and there's a 32-gallon trash can right there. All of a sudden, I see this shirtless dude that looks like Hell's Angels pulling a 32-gallon trash can out to the middle of the road. All the other cars are going by, but guess who he stands right in front of? Looks me right in the eye, picks it up, and dumps it right on my hood. And then looks me right in the eye. And my friend's going, what's he doing? What's he doing? I said, you know, the enemy knows what I've come to do. I'm already fasting and praying. How many of you know it's a pretty hard thing, but the enemy was hitting a moving target right there. I mean, that's just crazy. I had another time I went before we had church, and I said, Lord, I just want to know that I carry something. You ever get that? Is this thing real or not? Is there a presence that's on me? Can the evil spirits feel who I am? I just wanted to know again. So I went downtown in South Bend. I walked by a coffee shop. I'm just walking down the street, but I'm being circumspect. I'm just feeling what's around me, right? And I'm waiting for it. I want to know, does anybody feel this thing that's on me? And I walked by this coffee shop, and this young guy sitting there, he says, how you doing, Napoleon? And I turned and I said, why'd you say that to me? He said, because I felt authority walking by. Is that crazy? I ended up taking him to church that night. Isn't that crazy, though? I'm telling you, do you test what's on you? Do you lay hands and see if something will happen? Do you tell people the visions that you see in your head? And it's so easy to discount what that thing was. But you got to say to yourself, I know that was there for a reason. I know I've got to share that. I don't know what it means, but I tell you what, this is what I saw. And so often, it'll break people like that. You know, people that minister in the prophetic, it's one of the most rewarding things to see a word so sharp that it gets inside a wound, it gets inside a heart, it gets through the walls and the doors, and it hits them and brings them to their knees because they know that Jesus is real and He loves you and He knows you. And He cares about what you're going through.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've seen people down to the wire. And what I'm talking about is when you're in your when you got a strong revelation of who you are, people know who you are. And they know when they're in desperate times, they know they will come to you. I have to give you one other story. It's just crazy what God can do if you just put yourself in the place. You know, the Bible says He looked for a man to stand in the gap. God wants to anoint somebody. Why not you? And you may be at the beginning of this thing, but I'm telling you, there isn't anybody here in a moment in just receiving the anointing or hands laid on you, an impartation or a word while you're sitting there, that God can't change your identity today. Just like Jacob. In fact, Jacob got to a place where God said, I'm not calling you Jacob anymore. I'm calling you Israel. You know, all the promises are to Israel. They're not to the old guy. You can't move in the promises of God in the old man. You know, Peter's name Simon was a reed shaking in the wind. That's a far cry from a rock. Right? Saul was a murderer, and now he's called Paul. And he's got a whole different mentality, doesn't he? I'm telling you, God can flip who you are. And He can change who you are. It doesn't matter about your past. I mean, David murderer, Saul murderer. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you've been running for, because I guarantee you, if you're tenacious enough, God will never let you go. That's what I love about Jacob. I will not let you go unless you bless me. I need the blessing of God. Who's here like that? I'm telling you, that's a prayer that God will answer, that prayer of desperation. I need you now. I don't need you tomorrow. But I tell you, every story I have, it's right now. He's an eternal God because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God that changed all those people yesterday is here right now to change somebody because He's the same. He hasn't changed. See, that He's the rock, and that rock is in you. The rock of Rephidim, He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of water. That was in reference to the rock of Rephidim that fed all the Israelites. See, you got what it takes to refresh and revive people. Praise God. Praise God. Well, just stand for a moment. Would the music people just come up? I just want anybody, if you're hungry for change. You know what? We need an awakening, but it's an awakening of your identity. It's an awakening. Once you get your identity right, you'll understand what your purpose is. And when you get those two things right, you'll begin to move things. You'll begin to change things. You'll begin to see things move. And people know where they can come. That last story I was going to tell you is, you know, because I made a habit of just praying and prophesying with people what I saw. I had a guy call me. I was at work. I had a half an hour lunch. And this guy, I didn't know it, but he's a week away from losing his house. It's in foreclosure. Anybody like being in that feeling where things are counting down, this impending doom, and you have no answer, you don't know what to do, but I'm telling you, Jesus has always got a way, right? So we went and got something to eat, and we went out in my truck, and I said, "Do you want to pray?" See, prayer is the key. And it doesn't matter if you lead a house meeting, you come here, but you got to find somebody to minister to. Because once you get used to the flow, how many have ever been addicted to Jesus? You get a good prayer meeting and the Spirit comes, I bet people be in my house till 1 o'clock in the morning. And they'll be going through some stuff, but I see them get sedated on the couch and they're just out leaving. I got to go up and say, "I got to go to work. You can stay as long as you want." I've seen Corey and Meredith came one time, and Lord gave me a word of knowledge. Somebody has a financial need here, and it's like $200. And they raise their hands. They just hit a car or hit a deer with their truck. You know, this big black SUV. I had another couple. They were in bankruptcy. They're losing their home. And God gave a word of knowledge that this little, I mean, I'm talking five or six people. Somebody's getting a new house. I mean, these are crazy things. And I said, "It's you." The next day, there's a pastor leaving town to move away. He took him out to dinner. He said, "I'm going to give you my house." He said, you can have the equity and sell it, or you can just live in it. It's in Granger. I mean, we're talking a $250,000 house was just given to him. I don't know. Is that normal? Is that supernatural? But you know, it was easy. It was just a word. But that wasn't the end of it. They lived in it for a year. They were paying off his mortgage. And I'm in another prayer meeting. He's knelt on a pew beside me. And his name was Phil. And I said, "Phil, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, you're supposed to assume the mortgage." Well, I'm telling the guy that just went through bankruptcy to get a mortgage. How stupid is that, right? Does that work for anybody here? I'm telling you, God is amazing, but when he says something, you got to do it. And when he gives you that impossible word, you got to give it. Because you just don't know whatever's going to happen. So these were tenacious people. I've never seen them. They were crazy tenacious. So they stopped paying all their bills, thinking they're getting all this money back from the house. You know what? The first time fell through. And they're like in a predicament. They're about to lose everything. And he comes to me and says, "Brian, I thought you said to do this." And I said, "I don't know, try again." So they went to another place. It went through. They got enough money to pay all the bills back. You know what? They're still living there today. This other guy, I stopped the story, but came from Detroit. He was a truck driver. We had lunch and went and prayed in my pickup truck, me and these two guys. You know, it puts you on the spot when somebody's so desperate. But when we prayed, I saw a vision. You know in the Batman movies when the ceiling's coming down and time is running out, they're getting lower, and it looks like impending doom? Well, I started prophesying to him about how God will make a way of escape. Well, what was happening was he was so focused on the ceiling coming down, he didn't know that God put a door of escape behind him. Well, that's a good word, amen? But I never had this happen. But while I'm giving that word, I hear the word Cleveland in a still small voice. So I left, but I thought, why did I hear Cleveland? So I went back there and I said, I don't know what it's worth, but I just heard Cleveland. And then I left. I never heard from him until a month later. He said, "Brian, I just had to call you." He said, "I want to tell you what that word was worth to me." He said, "I owed $1,000. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any work to do." He said, "I was 1 week away from losing my house." He said, "I'm a truck driver." And he said, "When you said Cleveland, I hate the guy that's at Cleveland." You know, the truck terminal, though, it tells you where to take it. He said, I tried Chicago, I tried Detroit, I tried this place and that place, and finally I said, okay, I guess I got to try Cleveland. He said, the guy said, where are you? I need you right now. He said, I have a job that pays $1,000 going to Florida right now. I'm telling you, this is a 10-minute prayer meeting that changed somebody's life. And that could be you, because God wants to put an answer on you for somebody. He loves people that much that He'll use anybody here to get them the answer, to be glorified, to show them how much He loves them. And there's nothing like seeing that flow through you, because, oh man, you're high for the next week. I'm walking on cloud nine. The anointing, the oil of gladness, I'm telling you, it oils everything in your life. It didn't matter that I didn't get much sleep when I have a really good meeting and the anointing's thick, because you're just walking in the anointing. Praise God. Is there anybody that wants that kind of thing? See, God wants to raise up contenders. He wants to raise, we got some things coming maybe next month. You know, the one of the great awakenings was because of the crash of the stock market. That is an extreme possibility right now. And I believe there's an anointing in this room to start raising up people that you can hear, that you can see, that you can lay hands, that you can bring assurance, that you can release grace in life. You know, there are all kinds of people that committed suicide during that time because there's a hopelessness that takes on. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to be in a prayer meeting because that's where the grace is going to be. That's where the peace is going to be. That's where the word, that's where the miracles are going to flow. I want you to come. If you're hungry for that, just come and stand around here and all the pastors and prayer people. I'm telling you, the more desperate people are, the easier it is, actually. I almost brought a cardboard box with me tonight. It's about this big. We had a union electrician that came that just lost his job. How many of you know that's a pretty good paying job, right? I never met him. He's in the basement. I lived on a little house in Clover Avenue. You better have no basement. Man, we'd have 15 people down this little basement, and it just, I mean, stacking them up the steps. But the Holy Spirit would show up, and people are getting words, and people are getting healed, and deliverance, and all kinds. There's twice I took authority and dominion in my basement. People ran up the steps, threw up, manifesting demons. You know? Because it was my house, right? Now you're under my jurisdiction. When I take dominion and I take authority, I'm taking it back from the enemy. And things started moving. So this union electrician comes and he's distraught. He doesn't know what to do. And God had given me a promise about money for our ministry. A couple weeks before, it showed me a vision of the wise men bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the Christ child. And I thought, Jesus got everything he needed at the beginning. Mary and Joseph were poor, right? What's frankincense and myrrh for? The death and burial process. So I saw from the beginning to the end, Jesus got what he needed at the beginning. Isn't that like provision? Isn't that what God does? When he sets you on a course, when he gives you a vision, he also gives you provision for the vision. He'll give you everything you need, but you need to take the step of faith. So here's this union electrician. I'm telling you, God will have you do things you don't have a grid for. So we're praying, and we always pray to stroke on, invite the Lord in the middle. That's where I believe he wants to be, right in the middle. He's like the sun in the universe. He wants to heat everything. He wants to give light to everything. He's on this side of me, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, and then I prophesied to him a word I've never prophesied. I said, the Lord says he's going to meet your need like he did Simon Peter's when he got the gold out of the fish's mouth. Remember that story? Peter has to pay taxes. He doesn't have the money. He goes to Jesus. Jesus says, Peter, go fishing. The very first fish you catch, you'll have a gold coin. Go pay your taxes. Now, I just told an electrician he's going to get a gold coin because I said, I feel that so strong. I wouldn't doubt if a man comes up and gives you a gold coin. You know what? Up to this point, I've never seen a gold coin. I never saw a cougar on, don't know the weight of it, don't know what it is. I gave that guy that word, and I felt sure in it. I didn't doubt that. I just spoke what the Holy Spirit said. That was a Thursday night. By the next Thursday, I get a package on my front steps addressed to me, full of a bunch of napkins, and it had a little line, you know, one of those, kind of those little tabs that you flip the cover. It was that piece of paper. It said, use these for the spreading of the gospel and for the glorification of Jesus Christ. There were 10 gold cougarons. We were praying for $3,000. There was $3,000. That was $300 an ounce. You know, just a couple months ago, that'd be $18,000 right there. Is that crazy? I believe in paying a tithe. I prayed about it, the Lord said, give it to the union electrician. So here comes Thursday, and he does. He shows up. We're standing in the same place. And I turned to him. I said, do you believe the word of the Lord? He said, yes. I said, well, here's the gold coin. You know what? I never knew I'd be the one to do that. I never held one. You don't know the excitement I felt to have 10 gold coins in my hand. I didn't know it was $10,000 or $30,000. I didn't have a concept. But it was exactly what we were praying for, and it's exactly what I prophesied to him, a gold coin. I'm telling you, that's not hard, right? And I'm not boasting on myself. If I don't tell you an eyewitness account of what God can do, you won't know the potential that's in your whole life. You won't know that you can get an anointing on you. You can get a word given to somebody. And I'm telling you, it's like diving off a diving board the first time you do it. Or like your dad spinning you around. It's, can do it again, Daddy. Do it again. Right? Because when you see somebody broken, you see somebody come to salvation. You see them come to identity, and then you see them years later, and they're changed. And now they're giving. Now they're an instrument for God. See, I've seen people up here go to China now. You know, look at Corey. Corey's traveling the world. I'm like, God, what happened to me? He's traveling the world. He was my song leader for a while. I remember prophesying on him that God was going to make him an ear. He was going to hear things for God, give it to people. I've seen people be pastored. I prophesied over a young girl during that Holy Ghost time, and it was so thick, and she was in a wrong relationship. The Lord said, if you give up this relationship, you start living for me. I will send you to school, and it'll be for free. She was in a meeting, and the minister called her out and said, young woman, I don't know who you are, but the Lord says, I'm supposed to give you free school in my college. Is that crazy? It was on video. That's what I'm talking about, sticky word. It followed her to Ohio. It made the man of God hear something on her. It's like that man I told you. What are you, the undercover boss? Right? I mean, you don't know it, but when you get a word, you already got the identity. You realize that? The moment you got it, you don't even know it, but you're already walking in the identity. See, that's what they were seeing. That's what that pastor saw. He already saw it. It already happened when she got the word. When did Mary get pregnant? When she said, be it unto me. Right? When she mixed that word from the angel with faith, I believe she was pregnant, because by the time she got to the other house, she was prophesying to her already about the baby. And the baby was leaping in her womb. Right? So how long does it take to get it? It's immediate. The moment you got it, right? Can it really be that easy? I'm telling you, it doesn't take God long to change your life, right? Is there anybody desperate here? Just raise your hands to God. Oh, God. Lord, we ask you to give us our place in destiny. But that doesn't come without an identity crisis in each one of us. That we would understand that we can be much more than we are right now. And that we cannot change ourselves, but it's only you that can change us. We can do nothing except to be by your Holy Spirit. So, Father, I ask you that there would be a mantle of change, just like Michael prophesied. I feel the change. I feel the change. I feel the change. And, Lord, I believe that's falling on people right now. In Jesus' name, as they get transparent with you, as they confess their struggles with you. Some of them have been struggling like Esau and Jacob in the womb. But there's something about Jacob. When Esau's born, he reached out of the womb and grabbed his heel. There's something about a tenaciousness that you love. There's something about that child that will not let you go unless you bless them. So, Lord, I ask you that you would touch all the Jacobs tonight, that you would turn them into princes and princesses, Lord God, and that you would touch them in their thighs so they can't run from a problem anymore. But they would realize that they have power with both man and God. Now anywhere they go, they bring change. In Jesus' name. When they have coffee, when they lay hands, there's a change. Lord, no matter what it is, when they give a word, there's a change. Praise God. When they see something in the Spirit, no matter what it is, and they say it, Lord, let them be encouraged that they carry something. Oh, God. Lord, take away these spotted garments. I'm asking you like Jacob. Why don't you ask him this? See, this is what Jacob got. He got clothed by the elder son, and that's what happens to us tonight. This is the righteousness of Christ. It's not about you. The enemy can't beat you down anymore. It's like Gideon, remember? The Bible says that God put Gideon on like a glove. I'm telling you, when you're like that, you're unstoppable. He said he's a one-man army. You know, to receive the Holy Spirit means to be clothed upon. The Bible says, Jesus said, when the power of the Spirit comes upon you, then you shall be witnesses of me. The Greek word means to be clothed upon. Why don't you ask him for some new clothing right now? That's it. Just cry out, Lord, we want to be clothed on by you. I want your garment. I want that righteous garment. I want to be white again, whiter than snow. Take away sin tonight, Lord. Take away the ability of the enemy to hold us back. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Clothe us tonight, Lord. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I said, let him get on you right now. Let him break you. Let him break your heart. You know, I see some people just letting it sink in. And sometimes you may have a little bit of a hard exterior because you've been hurt. You have trust issues. You wonder if this guy's just crazy and he doesn't know what he's talking about. But I'm telling you, if you mix this word with faith, that process will begin tonight. And this sticky word will go with you. It'll keep working on you. I tell you what, when it got on me, I was in college. And I went to the bar and, you know, my friend ordered a pitcher of beer. And I'm not against, you know, having a beer or wine. But you know what? The Holy Spirit lifted from me. And like, I'm sorry I can't do this, because you know what? I want the Spirit resting on me. And if you get to that place where the Spirit can teach you, you'll learn to be sensitive that you don't want to do anything to offend the dove. And you want him to be with you. I remember walking out of a movie theater one time, and it was a movie that all my family could watch. I think it was Iron Man, you know? But we had just got back from Florida, and there's such a consecrated anointing on me. It's like, I just want to be holy. I want him so bad. I love what he's doing. I love the visions, the prophetic words. I saw power. I saw fire on people. When I lay hands, they break out in sweat. I got burned by the fire where my lips were burning like a hot jalapeno pepper. And then he was there. It was after something God testified about the hot breath of God. I thought, I'd like to hear that. I'd like to feel that. So I testify about to Brad about this thing that happened to me. And all of a sudden, he watched us start bawling. The fire fell on me, burned my lips. They were burning hot. And then there's different times when I pray for people, and they got the fire. I got to tell you one more story. I'm sorry. And what I'm trying to do is stir up your hunger for what is possible, right? Because I didn't have this, but I got it. In that consecrated place, you know, just like Aaron's sons had to be in the holy place for 7 days, they had to rub oil on them. We had just come back from this place, and we're in this anointing, this healing. And I don't know how many times I got anointed with oil, and I was on the back seat of an airplane flying back, and I thought, I'm so tired, I'm just going to fall asleep. And this woman sat beside me, and this man, and as soon as she touched me, I woke up, and the Holy Spirit said, this is a Samaritan woman. I want you to introduce me as a great physician. How do you do that? I don't even know who she is. I got to figure out how to work this around, because I want to be obedient to what, and it was so audible, I knew it. This is God. But now I got to figure out how to do this. So anyways, we fly. We had to go to Detroit before we came to South Bend. And it's 10 minutes we're going to land. And remember I told you about the fire on my lips? Well, I had a stroke, and I get a bad arm. I can't do a whole lot, you know. And what happened was there was anointing in my arm. My whole arm was on fire. If I could tell you there were flames of the Holy Spirit, it was intense heat. And the Lord spoke to me and said, tell her about me, tell her about me. If you miss your moment, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. And if I could tell you, I felt like somebody's pushed me. I felt like he was going to push me out of the airplane. I was uncomfortable. He kept pushing me. Tell her about me, tell her about me. I had 10 minutes, right? It's do or die. You got to do it now or forget it. And then he says, ovaries. I thought, you want me to tell this, ask her about her ovaries? Right? Is that crazy? See, I'm telling you, you got to be so bold. And some people, they're in desperation. I don't want to know what's happening, but finally I said, ma'am, I got to ask you a question. Do you have anything wrong with your ovaries? You know what? She started bawling, and she said, yes. And I said, I'm supposed to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ as a great physician. Can I pray for you? And she said yes. So I started praying, and you heard people talk about when the anointing's on their hand, they can feel it. Well, I didn't feel it. I'm praying with this hand. I know the fire's over here, but this is hard to use, right? So I started praying, I didn't feel it. I said, ma'am, I got to change hands. So I take this hand, I put it on her head, and I get really tense when I start praying, and I got the claw on her hair all stuck and everything. You know, I can't even get my hand off her head. But she's bawling, you know. And I got to lift my hand out and get all untangled from the hair. And then, you know, I've been trained to heal people, right? So you're supposed to ask them, did you feel anything? You know, because you want to find out. Do you feel fire, electricity, peace? You got to learn how to ease into this thing. You don't just come and say, thus saith the Lord. Or you just got to know how to be wise and not put you or God on the spot. And then she was crying. She said, yeah, it was really weird. She said, when you laid your left hand, she said, I didn't feel anything. But when you laid your right hand, man, I got hot all over. And I said, you know, when you feel the fire of the Holy Spirit like that, and you have a word of knowledge, I believe he healed you instantly. Amen. See, I'm telling you, all that was a word. Are you willing to jump off with Jesus and just do something? Praise God. Some things will manifest right in front of you. You got to take care of it. I'm telling you, sometimes he'll put you in a situation you don't even know you're the one, but you're the one. If nobody's going to do this, it's not going to happen. He'll put you right in and make you face that demon, and you're the one that's got to cast it out. Nobody else is there. And that's when you find out that you're a son or a daughter and you have authority over demons. Right? Because you're the one. You didn't know he chose you for it. But he led you right into that corner with that demon. I'm telling you, he has ways of exposing who you are. Amen. So Lord, we just thank you tonight. I think we're hungry right now. I feel faith rising up in this place, Lord. We just ask you for impartations right now, that a touch in your anointing. You said we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and we believe you tonight. Lord God, we have evidence. We testify. There's a prophetic anointing in the testimony that says you will do it again. Lord God, every time I've ever heard something, I wanted it, I got it. Because I said it's mine, I mix it with my faith. In Jesus' name, you're no respecter of persons. So Lord, we just ask you to fall on your people. Turn them into sons and daughters of the Most High. Contenders for the faith once delivered, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Would you give the Lord a hand clap? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Everybody say, nothing shall be impossible. Say it again. Nothing shall be impossible. Amen.
Two things while he was praying and sharing. One was that many of you have felt like you've been used many different times because you've loved on people. And it's almost like you felt like you've been foolish because you keep loving and you keep believing, and then people just use you and they hurt you. And I felt like the Lord wanted you to know God wants you to be a fool for him.
Amen.
Okay. And people are saying, why do you keep doing what you're doing? They're just using you. Let the kingdom of God go forth in you wherever you're giving, whatever Amen. You're doing. That's what Amen. God's wanting. I heard that. And then the second thing was, right now, out there here, let's just take a moment and let's turn to someone, because he's talked about our identity and who we are. And let's take a moment and pray for each other Amen. Right now. Amen. So just anybody, if there's two hands, just turn to someone Amen. And pray a blessing and pray for them right now. I don't care if you don't know them. Whoever it is. Back there, guys, don't even think you're not involved. So pray Amen. For each other back there, Josh. Amen. Get your hand on somebody.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Bring the change.
Lord, thank you.
Bring the change, Lord.
God is changing things. Yes. He's moving things.
We prophesy change.
We pray blessing, fullness of identity. Yes, Lord.
There's a change tonight.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you for the change. We give you praise.
Yes, we
for
give
change.
You.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, changing garment. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Yes.
Power of the Holy Spirit, may the healing flow
Amen.
And faith arise right
Praise
now.
God.
Physical healing in the name of Jesus, Yeshua. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Lord, I ask that you would prepare us, Holy Spirit, that we would fellowship with you each and every day, that we would increase in our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fire of God, move upon us. May we beckon you every day, Holy Spirit, to have your way within us, to teach us. Holy Spirit, help each and every one of us be able to better magnify the Son of God, Jesus, because of our fellowship with you. Help us. Help us. We want to be ready and filled with oil. So let that be tonight, that the oil of God would be released. That each and every one of us would be fueling stations of your presence. Yes. Yes.